Title: Counterpoint between Sub and Pa Advanced. All right, let's get into one of the most powerful sounds like you know what you're doing techniques in drum and bass. Counterpoint between your sub and your pad. And I'm going to say this up front. This is not classical music homework. In Rolling D&B, counterpoint is arrangement. It's groove. It's the difference between a loop that feels functional and a drop that feels like it's alive. Here's the mindset for today. Your sub is your physical momentum. It's the thing that pushes the room forward. Your pad is your emotional gravity. It's the thing that pulls the listener into a mood. If they move independently, but still feel connected harmonically, your track gets wider, darker, and more expensive sounding without stacking 10 extra layers. In this lesson, we're building a 16-bar loop that could sit inside a proper rolling D&B drop, a subline with intentional phrasing, rests, pickups, and call and response, and a pad part that stays out of the sub's way, but still feels like it's speaking back. Before we touch notes, let's set one rule that will save you a ton of mixing pain. Treat this like two registers, not two instruments. The sub owns roughly 30 to 90 hertz, plus a bit of harmonics if we add them. The pad owns 250 hertz and up. If you blur those registers, you'll spend your whole session fixing with sidechain and EQ, instead of composing something clean from the start. Step 0. Quick session setup. Set your tempo around 172 to 176 BPM. Pick a key that's friendly to heavy D&B. F minor, G minor, D minor, any of those are home territory. And throw in a basic drum loop. Kick, snare, hats, nothing fancy. You just need something to hear the movement against. Also, do yourself a favor with routing. Make a bass group with your sub, and maybe mids later if you add them. And make a music group for pads, atmos, stabs, whatever. This separation makes mixed decisions faster and cleaner. Step 1. Write the sub as the leader. Create a MIDI track called sub. Use operator. Keep it stock and simple. Oscillator is sine wave. That's the foundation. Set the amp envelope so it's punchy, but not clicky. Instant attack. A short decay around 200 milliseconds. Very low sustain and a release around 80 to 140 milliseconds. You want notes that end cleanly without smearing into each other. Now the sub chain. First, EQ 8. And notice what I'm not saying. Don't high-pass your sub by default. If you cut the very thing that's supposed to be the foundation, you end up compensating with distortion and volume. Keep it intact. If it feels boxy, you can try a gentle dip around 200 to 350 Hz, but only if you actually hear that problem in context. Then add saturator, softly. Soft sine or analog clip works great. Drive just 1 to 3 dB, and level match the output so you're not fooling yourself with loudness. Optionally, a glue compressor for stability. 2 to 1 ratio, attack around 10 milliseconds. Release on auto and only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. This is not for pumping, it's for consistency. Now the important part, the MIDI writing. Advanced D&B sub phrasing is not notes everywhere. It's intentional space. Counterpoint needs room. And the easiest way to create room is silence. Try building in one bar ideas that evolve across four bars. For an example in F minor, think like this. Bar 1, hit F on beat 1. Then later in the bar, add a pickup, like G to AB, right before the loop turns. Bar 2, don't hit on beat 1. Let that downbeat breathe, then answer on the end of 1 or somewhere syncopated. Bar 3, give it a longer held note so the drums feel bigger. Bar 4, use shorter notes to drive momentum into the next phrase. And here's a groove trick that matters more than people think. Micro-timing. Take a couple of the sub notes, not the main downbeat, and nudge them a tiny bit early, like 5 to 12 milliseconds. That tiny urgency can make the bass feel like it's leaning forward, which is very Roland D&B, but keep the main downbeat stable. The dance floor needs something to trust. Step 2. Design a pad that refuses to double the sub. New MIDI track, call it pad. Use wave-eatable. Pick a warm starting point. Basic shapes leaning sawish is fine. Add a second oscillator with a slightly different wave-eatable and subtle detune. Unison, 2 to 4 voices, but keep the amount controlled. We want width, not a phase soup. Filter, a low-pass 24 dB slope. Cut off somewhere between 500 Hz and 2K depending on how bright you want the mood. Amp envelope, attack 30 to 120 milliseconds so it swells in, and a release of 1 to 4 seconds so it feels like atmosphere, not stabs. Add movement, but make it slow enough to feel cinematic. An LFO to the filter cutoff at around 0.05 to 0.15 Hz, so it evolves over many bars, or tiny modulation to the wave-eatable position. Now the pad chain is where you keep it safe. First, EQ8 with a high pass at around 150 to 250 Hz, 24 dB slope, and don't just set it and forget it. Move the cutoff while the full groove plays and find the point where the pad still feels emotional, but the sub suddenly feels like it can breathe. Then utility for width, something like 130 to 170%. If you have bass mono options available, great, but the real protection here is that high pass plus smart voicing. Add chorus ensemble subtly, slow rate, low amount. Then hybrid reverb. Choose a darker plate or hall. Pre-delay around 15 to 35 milliseconds so the pad doesn't smear the groove. Low cut inside the reverb around 250 to 400 Hz. Decay 2 to 6 seconds depending on how dense you want it. Quick teacher note, pre-delay is your friend in fast genres. It lets the transient world exist before the wash arrives. Step 3. Compose the counterpoint. This is the core. Counterpoint in DNB is mostly intervals plus timing, not just different notes. First, choose a harmonic container. If your sub is mostly sitting on F with passing tones, your pad can imply chord colors without the sub changing roots constantly. In F minor, you can try colors like F minor add 9, so F, Ab, C, and G, or a DB major 7 kind of vibe, especially with that dreamy tension, or Ab add 9. You don't need full chords, two or three notes can be enough, and honestly, in a busy DNB drop, fewer notes usually hits harder. Now apply the practical contrapuntal rule, contrary motion. When the sub moves up, your pad's top voice should tend to drift down. When the sub falls, let the pad rise. And when the sub holds, that's your invitation for the pad to change slowly. Here's the workflow that keeps you from overcording. Write the pad's top voice first as a melody, one note at a time. Then add one supporting note below it, maybe two, but start with dyads, two notes, and keep the lowest pad note above roughly 200 to 300 Hz. Not just with EQ, but with actual voicing. Move it up an octave if you need to. Now let's do the rolling DNB trick. Rhythmic offset. If the sub hits on beat 1, don't change the pad on beat 1 every time. Let pad changes land on beat 2, or the end of 2, or the end of 4. Make the pad feel like it's answering, not marching in lockstep. Imagine one bar like a conversation. Sub hits on 1, then a pickup near the end. Pad swells just after 1, resolves a 3, and gives a little lift on the end of 4. It's subtle, but it creates call and response without adding clutter. Now a deeper coaching concept. Tension budgeting. Only one layer gets to be clever at a time. If your sub is doing chromatic approach notes, like E into F, keep the pad more diatonic right there. If your pad is getting spicy with extensions like a sharp 11 vibe, keep the sub stable. That's how you avoid everything is tense so nothing feels tense problem. Also watch for hidden collisions at the octave. Even if your pad is high-passed, if it's constantly landing on unison or octave relationships against the sub, it can still feel like doubling. A quick fix is to bias the pad's top voice toward thirds, sixths, and ninths against the sub root, more than ones and eights. And here's a trick that makes independence feel intentional. Anchor tones. Pick one tone the pad keeps returning to over 2 to 4 bars, often the fifth or the ninth of the key. So the sub pattern can evolve, but the pad keeps touching that anchor like a recurring character in a story. Step 4. Sidechain the pad to the sub, not just the kick. On the pad track, add Ableton's compressor. Turn on sidechain. Audio from the sub track. Start with ratio 3 to 1 up to 6 to 1. Attack 5 to 15 milliseconds, so the pad isn't instantly crushed. Release around 80 to 200 milliseconds and tune it to the groove. Faster release pumps more, longer release breathes more. Set threshold to get about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the sub hits. Advanced move. Two-stage sidechain. First compressor keyed from the kick. Fast settings, just to protect transients. Second compressor keyed from the sub. Slower, for musical breathing. This can sound incredibly controlled in dense DNB drums. Step 5. The frequency handshake. Carve, don't guess. Throw spectrum on your music group and actually look. If the pad is doing anything sustained below your cutoff, it's going to blur the sub's authority. Pad EQ checklist. High pass 150 to 250, verify in context. If the sub feels like it disappears when the pad comes in, look at pad energy around 200 to 400 Hz first. That zone is where warmth turns into mod real fast. Also check around 700 to 1.5k. Too much there can distract from bass articulation and drum presence. Sub EQ checklist. Keep it simple. Avoid wide boosts. If you need translation on small speakers, add harmonics carefully. A touch more saturator drive can do it. Or a tiny bit of overdrive with low tone and a low dry wet, like 10 to 20%. If you add harmonics, here's a clean trick. After saturation, use EQ8 to notch a narrow band around 250 to 450 Hz if it starts stepping on the pad's body. That way the sub is audible, but you're not stealing the pad's emotional band. Step 6. Arrange it like a 16-bar conversation. A good drop isn't an 8-bar loop copy-pasted forever. Counterpoint is your tool to create sections without adding new sounds. Try this 16-bar plan. Bars 1 to 4. Sub establishes the motif. Pad is minimal, long notes, low movement. Bars 5 to 8. Pad introduces a counter melody. Top voice becomes memorable. Sub simplifies. Bars 9 to 12. Sub variation. Extra pickup or new syncopation. Pad reduces density. More air. Bars 13 to 16. Pad opens up slightly, maybe brighter filter or shorter swells. Sub simplifies again so the drop hits harder. And sell the transitions with automation. Slowly open the pad filter 5 to 15% over 8 bars. Bump reverb send slightly on the answer phrases, especially when the sub rests. Increase utility width a touch from bars 9 to 16, but keep the sub mono and stable. If you want an extra clean modern trick, try dynamic pad high pass. Put auto filter before the pad reverb, set it to high pass 24 dB around 180 to 260. Then use an envelope follower listening to the sub. So, when the sub hits, the pad's cutoff rises slightly. That's not just sidechain compression. That's the pad literally leaning out of the way. A few common mistakes to avoid while you're working. If the pad plays the same rhythm as the sub, that's doubling, not counterpoint. Offset it. If the pad has too much weight in 150 to 400, the sub will feel like it vanished even if the meters say it's fine. If the sub never rests, the pad has nothing to respond to. Silence is musical power in DNB. If you only sidechain to the kick, you're missing the real issue. In rolling DNB, the sub is often the most continuous energy, so the pad needs to breathe around that. And finally, too many pad notes. Fewer notes, better motion. Let's close with a quick practice challenge you can do in 20 minutes. Pick G minor. This audio version is shortened for playback.